Board of Commissioners workshop session. I'd like to thank everyone for coming. May we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner Hill.
Present.
Commissioner Fickle is absent. Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
And Commissioner Roan.
Here. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag, United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any changes or additions to the agenda? None. We'll move to public comment. This is an opportunity to speak to the commission for 3 minutes regarding any topic in person. Those wishing to speak must fill out a public comment form. Those participating via Zoom may raise their hands during the public comment period. Do you have any public comment? They will move to action items. The first pressing issue of the day is regards Pacific Office Automation and a contract for the Boatyard printer. Melanie.
This item is very straightforward. You've seen these before. When we lease a printer, we have to do a minimum of 5 years, which means that it does require commission approval. This is going to be for a Boatyard printer, the one we're doing for an upgrade. So we're going to ask the commission to make a resolution, authorize the executive director to sign this agreement for $222 a month for a term of 60 months.
Thank you. Are there any questions? There's a motion provided. Commissioner, like to make a motion?
We approve the Boatyard printer contract with Pacific Office Automation and presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any additional questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion approves. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item has to do with the master lease agreement involving Astoria Port Development LLC. I'll allow staff to introduce the topic. Garth.
Thank you, Commissioner Roan. So this is a big day for us and a long time coming. I won't go into every detail, but this process started about 5 years ago when the Port of Astoria partnered with the City of Astoria on a waterfront master plan that was kind of mostly located around the West Basin. It's been a lengthy process. The planning process itself went through a lot of public scrutiny. It was actually during a time when we were still doing a lot of stuff via Zoom and electronic, the COVID. And I guess the number I always bring up is that at one of the public forums, discussing this planning area. At one point, we had 144 participants on the call, which is pretty incredible for an area this small and compared to the interest we typically get with some of the projects we have going on. And so fast forward a little bit after the planning process had been completed, and that took a while for a number of different reasons. One of the big ones being that during that time, unfortunately, from the City of Astoria perspective, we had almost complete turnover on the city council. A majority of the council turned over. We got a new mayor. We got, there were actually three different city managers who worked on this project, as well as a new community development director. There was a bit of a reset and a re-education process when some of those changes happened. We then, once we had the approval of the waterfront master plan, went through an expression of interest process where we invited folks to submit plans for various components of the waterfront master plan. We received some really good responses to that. I think we had 9 total responses that we reviewed. We had a committee that was appointed to conduct interviews and go through that process. And ultimately, we settled on a group that's now called Astoria Port Development LLC to move forward with the development. Since that selection, there's a number of things that have happened, and I'll let, I guess, Garth speak a little bit on their end of things, on some of the work being done. But initially, we had signed an ENA, an exclusive negotiating agreement with this group to come up with what you're seeing tonight, which is a master lease and development option agreement. And so one of the challenges with this process, first, it was a bit unique for anything the port had done in the past, just in the scale of the agreement and what we were looking for, and just the number of items that are in that development area. And so I think, you know, both sides needed to make sure that this agreement not only was going to work today, but it was going to work 5 years, 10 years and beyond, which, you know, we call some of our old leases around here our legacy leases, and the first one to sometimes complain about some of these things that may have made sense long ago, but down the road are a bit of a challenge. And so wanted to make sure that with anything we did long term like this, that we really protected the port while also, you know, making sure that this was going to work from a business standpoint with our partners on this. And so kind of the structure of how this is going to work is this master lease and development option agreement covers the entire development area. It also sets the ground rules for how any of the individual developments and those subleases will be governed from the port's perspective. One important note, although the term is long, the original term is 40 years, there is a section in here that talks about forfeiture of rights and early termination. And basically what this does is it is acts as sort of a first right of refusal. Because one of the concerns with the port when you're signing something like this is that long term, if we get 5, 10 years down the road and perhaps some of the elements that are contemplated within the waterfront development and the proposal that our partners had put forth, is if some of these things don't happen and we're locked into a long-term agreement, how does that work? And so there is language in this that allows the port, upon notice to the developers, that if we have someone else coming forward that wants to develop some of these things, that they would have the first right of refusal. It gives the port a little bit of control to make sure that these things actually move forward. And then with the hotel redevelopment specifically, we have specific dates in here in which time that that project has to be permitted and moving forward. And so I guess that's a bit of a high level synopsis of where we've been and where we are now. Before Garth comes up, I did want to just make a few comments. In this role, I work with a lot of different folks. From local, state, the feds, we work with public entities, we work with private entities. And over the last year or so, in working specifically with Garth and with Wes, I can say that these are first class folks, that they're excellent to work with. Their communication is on point. When they say something, they follow through with it. And so I've been really impressed with just the professional nature of how these things have proceeded. And I'm excited on behalf of the port to have this agreement in front of the commission tonight and hopefully get approval to move this forward. So I guess with that, Garth, did you want to make some comments?
Sure. Well, thanks for the kind words. We've worked closely with Matt Will for the last year or so in terms of our presentation, our vision, our thoughts. We've also spent a fair amount of money in terms of planning. We've had our land planners, our surveyors, or we got quite a few folks that are assisting us in terms of evaluating, you know, what can we do out here? What's it going to look like? What's the feasibility of it? You know, the normal things that we would go through and make a determination as to, going forward. And we're quite frankly very excited about this opportunity. I think we can really change the dynamic here and create a facility that you're all going to be proud of. You know, ultimately, but it's going to take some time, right? And I think the way that this agreement is put together, as Will indicated, is baked in to, you know, be sure that we fulfill our obligations, but also if for whatever reason we didn't, the port has the obligation to, you know, change direction at some point in time. So you're not locked in forever. We have to perform, and that's, I think, that's appropriate, fair. At the same time, the lease provides, you know, mechanisms for us to be able to, get financing, because, you know, you got to raise money to do these things, and we're going to have lenders involved, and we're talking, you know, considerable sums, you know, $20, $30 million here and there. So
We're not that deep in terms of our personal resources. So we'll have a lenders, if you will, that will provide financing. And we provide ability for that to secure their interest in our leasehold interest, not in your fee, but just in the leasehold interest itself. So that's the kind of comfort level that we have to provide to our financing partners to make this thing a reality. So yeah, we're jazzed about this thing. We've worked really hard. We've got a considerable investment. We've really enjoyed working with Matt and Will, obviously, and are really looking forward to creating a new vision down here that, like I said earlier, I think will make you all proud. So I'm open to questions, but that's kind of our vision, if you will, and what we've been doing the last 5 or 6 months in terms of working collectively to bring this to, you know, ahead here where we can actually sign a lease and get going. So.
Listeners, questions?
This is the first print I've seen of the plan right here, and I can't tell anything about what's going to happen there.
I'd be happy
to have a better print somewhere that we can look at.
Right. You know, this is it'd be helpful to point out kind of what we're looking at here.
Yes, yeah. Please.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so what we're looking at here, and I'm going to go to folks, but basically, you know, this is a poor property all up in here. What we're focusing on is the hotel would be right here, retail right here, and the culinary center would go up here. We've been working with the board and providing the information for a grant for the welcoming center, which is in process.
That's Pier 1.
Pardon me?
That's Pier 1.
Yeah, Pier 1, a welcoming center. That's we provided information to the port in terms of costing and layouts and so on and so forth to help the grant applicator prepare their grant for you folks to create the dollars available to build this at some point in time.
That's not the subject of the agreement that we're
seeing. The agreement is basically this area down in here.
So the hotel,
the hotel
south,
the retail, and then the culinary center, which is basically a restaurant, is what it's going to be. And the vision of that is we've talked to the James Beard Society, and they're going to occupy a portion of this, and then wine enthusiasts going to occupy another portion with the restaurant in the middle. And the whole idea is to make this kind of destination for people to come for culinary experiences, that you go out fish, sand, come back and prepare it. You'll get some oysters, some crab or whatever. So we think this can be a year-round facility in terms of attracting people here with a very nice hotel for people to stay when they come here. And then retail down here as well for, we think there's a ban for retail down here as well. So that's our vision. That's kind of the area that we are talking about developing here.
So what are we doing here on skip of Pier 1?
Well, Pier 1, there's a grant application right now to build a welcoming center there, and also a like a fish market for local vendors, as well as when the cruise ship actually come up with a place for them to go.
But that is not the subject of the agreement we're looking at today. That's another day, another topic, another conversation.
Right.
Well, I'll add something to it. It looks to me like we're heading into a jeopardy there, jeopardizing on Pier 1, the only dock we got that'll hold 10,000 pounds per square inch of weight, $26 million it cost when it was built. So are we going to put ourselves out of business here completely?
This agreement has nothing to do with that.
Well, it does too. It has a rundown, but it backs up the backup area. We've got parking there, am I right?
Right, we're parking here, but this parking has been used for a wall of people.
What's the segment over here?
This is on Pier 1. This is ultimately, if you develop this area with the welcoming center, this will be necessary for parking, for bus traffic, and that sort of thing. But that's not part of what we're talking about right today. The agreement we're talking about is these areas down in here, which actually pursuant to the master plan that's been approved, those are the areas that you can develop.
That's basically just it's surrounding the mooring basin where the old motel is right now.
Exactly.
That number 84, if I can see, is that's where the current motel is.
Yes. And that's our plan for retail rent there.
What does this lease have to do with Pier 1?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Pier 1 right now. If you're successful with getting the grant application for this, then we can talk about how we can participate.
Well, yeah, down the road somewhere, you're looking at using that up as part of the You're going to build on it. Is that correct?
Well, you know, the port has put in an application for a grant to fund building a welcoming center right here.
A what now?
Welcome center.
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about today.
In other words, it's going to take up part of that dock.
If you get the grant and if it's built.
When was the commission advised of this?
5 years ago when we went through the master planning process. This was all part of the waterfront master plan. We have the full document that you reviewed, that you approved. And this is just coming on the, after getting that plan in place, we move forward. And the commission has been apprised of everything we've done. It was the commission that appointed the committee that reviewed the proposals. It was the commission who approved this group to move forward with and had authorized staff to work on agreement, which we did. And so this has been maybe the most publicized thing in my time here at the port has been this waterfront master plan and the subsequent development that was to take place.
Fortunately, the map doesn't do it justice in terms of understanding which area specifically the central waterfront plan is about, but I think we understand it. I want to hear from Matt was a big part of this whole process.
I just received this yesterday, by the way, and there's been no time to go through it. And like I really do, have we run this by our attorney or our professional on our engineer of any kind?
All the above.
What's the attorney's view on it? Did they write the contract?
I mean, there's been a. I mean, what would you estimate, Garth, on how many back and forths there's been?
Attorney's very involved. We prepared the first draft and did the back and forth, at least 4 or 5 iterations over the last month or so.
From a very high level, it's the port's interest in making sure that the progress is made in terms of not just the hotel, but including the hotel and the rest of the development, as executive director indicated, with the first right of refusal to make sure if there's non-performance that there's a mechanism that the port can make sure that that's followed through. But then on the investment side, they need some degree of certainty in order to be able to bring in investment to the project. Originally working with the city of Astoria to help reconcile conflicting zoning issues was to help create certainty so that we could all move forward in the same direction. Is that correct? Matt, you've been a huge part of this process. Do you want to speak to it?
The only thing that I would add to what Will has said is that, that we've been looking to do something with this waterfront for a number of years, and we've gone through a very long process to do that. Part of it was, what are we going to do to keep this moving, And so now we have a world-class development team on board, and the only way that they can continue to keep this moving is to have a master lease in place, because they're starting to write some pretty big checks for planning, for engineering, for all those types of things to keep this moving. And this has been something that has been agreed upon by the commission, by the public. Port staff, we're all in agreement on what needs to be done with these areas. We've even gotten the code adjusted by Winterbrook and the people at Walker Macy so that we have an outright use for the hotel that we can get these guys going, because that's going to be the first thing that gets rolling. So I think it's important for us to keep that momentum going by getting this lease to Garth and his folks at Atland with the Astoria Development LLC so that they can keep moving this forward.
What are you guys out of?
I'm living in support just outside of Seattle, and Wes resides in Seattle, and you're working in a place of Oregon too, most of the time now.
One of the items that Garth and his team brought up is they develop all that area out there where Costco and Walmart and on. And the reason that was appealing is because they have firsthand knowledge of working in this community with local, state, and federal partners, which has been a challenge. Our hope, I think, from the port committee that was part of interviewing is to make sure you had people involved who had the capability of getting through the permitting process. And I believe Garth or Wes mentioned they have contacts in the governor's office. So the point is that they have a proven track record in our community of doing difficult things. And I think that is why staff gravitated towards this group, because they have the highest level of confidence that they'll be able to follow through and do it and be knowledgeable of the challenges, which there will be challenges that have to be worked through.
My concern is we've already given up Pier 2 to the fishing industry, which has turned out pretty well, I think. We have one pier left. We are a deep water port, and we're the only bridge, or the only dock below the Columbia River Bridge. We have another disaster like Mount St. Helens, and it's possible. Matter of fact, it's blowing smoke right now. Then we need to be in a position to have some kind of cargo. The problem is here, we don't have one person in this port office that knows how to go out and get business. Not one. We don't have a traffic. And that's what we need. Somebody on the road that knows how to put these things together. We could be using Pier 1 and as part of Pier 3 if we had that. I know we can. But I brought this subject up to the manager several times, and it goes in one ear and out the other.
Commissioner Hill?
My concern is that we're gonna box ourselves in a corner, and this old port's gonna go by. I don't have much faith in what they're offering up here. What are we looking at dollar-wise at the end of the gate? Where's the port going to be? What kind of advantage is this going to be to the port?
My question would be, why did you vote yes for it then?
Would you do it if you had it? Was your money you were spending?
Absolutely.
I wouldn't, you know.
Commissioner Hill is a part of that committee. I'd like to hear from Commissioner Hill.
I spent a good number of hours, I don't know how many, but we're on several meetings with a group of people like Garth's group, and we listened to their presentation, and that was our job, those of us that were there. I'm not sure, Jim, if you were a part of that. And
he wasn't. You and I were there, and then there were several stakeholders from the community and staff.
Right. But very, very impressive companies that we listened to, but Garth's group stood out and chose to be the developers of this event. I'm surprised, Jim, that you didn't pick up on any of this, but there's a great plan moving forward in conjunction with the cities, Astoria. And I think the potential for what's happening, we're not going to be disappointed with what it brings to Astoria. Does it take space from cargo? Maybe so, but cargo has been a tough, tough tomato to make ends meet here and ever since I've been around. The forestry business is so up and down these days, and this is something that would be very long term. So I think we have to look at it as something that can be very successful. That's my opinion.
Commissioner Stevens?
Thank you. Well, Mayor, I want to address one thing about Pier 1 that Commissioner Campbell brought up. When we approve that master plan, I voted yes too, but we assumed that that welcoming center was going to be down here at the base of Pier 1. And we insisted that there be flexibility in the plan. Putting it out there is why Mr. Campbell is objecting, whether he voted for that or not. And for everyone else's education, I got a very good presentation a month or so ago from the Atlin Group and Una Totem. And Mr. Campbell, Commissioner Campbell was out of town when that occurred, so he hasn't been filled in with the future plans that you all advertised with us. You were very patient with us, and I appreciated that. I got to say, this is a major move for the port. I agree. It does assume that we've exhausted all means of obtaining cargo, and I don't feel like we have. We're going to forego major cargo handling forever. Still, it might be the thing to do. I'm assuming that we're going to struggle for a while, but we're going to get more cruise ships in our future. I'm trusting that you all know how to do that. You all in Una Totem are going to show us how to bring them in. And that will produce jobs and benefit our community. I'm trusting that's going to happen. Why 40 years? What's a major contract like that that we're tied to it for 40 years?
I can explain if you want.
Sure. All right, so please.
Yeah, the issue is, comes down to financing. If we're going to build a $30 million hotel, we'll finance probably half of it, you know, so rest of most will be equity, but the other half will be funding. Mm-hmm. And the lender's going to want at least a 30-year runway, you know, even though commercial loans, you know, your home mortgage is typically a 30-year mortgage, right? But in the commercial world, it's usually 10 or 15 years. They have to refinance every 10 to 15 years, but they want to have a facility that has enough useful life, if you will, to continue to re-up lending loans. If you only had a 10-year lease on a $30 million or $40 million hotel, there's no way you could ever get financing for it. So they need to have a long enough runway. And 40 years is a long enough, we feel, to talk to lenders to be, plus we have extensions on top of that, assuming we're doing what we're supposed to do, right? But that's the need for the duration because it's for financing purposes.
Thank you. For the director, that early termination section you mentioned then that gives us a bailout if things don't progress as we hope. And that was reviewed by Eileen. She think that's strong enough? That's our attorney.
She wrote it, yes.
She wrote it. And that's strong enough language that it does protect the port. Right. We're a 40-year period.
It's important to remember with this master lease and development agreement is this is just simply the umbrella that covers the planning area. So within that, there's going to be individual subleases for the individual lots that would also go to the commission for approval. And there would be flexibility with it. Obviously, there's going to be financial terms of each of those subleases. But it could also be with, I can imagine, with some of the smaller, whether it's retail stuff that we could look at the term. And
I figure that out. Say, isn't it?
This master, we have to have something that covers so that they can get moving, get their financing. And without this umbrella, we don't really have that.
Yeah, I see how it goes together. I think that's all the questions I had.
These red line things here, are they agreed upon?
Correct.
That wasn't in our original plan.
Correct. They're pretty, I mean, yeah, they're pretty minor in nature. Some of them are just more grammar.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Like to entertain a motion? Commission? Would commissioners like to make a motion?
Yes, I will. On the master lease agreement, Astoria Port Development LLC, move to approve the lease agreement between the Port of Astoria and Astoria Port Development LLC as presented.
Is there a second? I'll make the second. We have a motion and a second. Are there any other additional questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
No.
Aye.
Is that a no?
No, that's an aye. You didn't give me a chance.
Okay. So that's the kind of roll call vote.
Yeah, we should.
Have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Hill.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Roll call vote. Commissioner Hill.
Aye.
Commissioner Stevens.
Aye.
Commissioner Campbell.
No.
And Commissioner Roan.
Aye. Okay, the master lease agreement is approved. Have a tendency to get into overarching philosophical conversations in these sort of meetings. This board unanimously supported the timber export operation. And it was the leanest, meanest. I say that as a compliment to the organization that was running it in terms of cargo. And unfortunately, political and reality in our country and the world didn't allow that business to continue. My only point is that was a cargo that was viable or that we supported, and it wasn't viable. So that's really beside the point. Commission comments. Commissioner Campbell.
I have nothing.
Want to talk about your chair?
Yeah, we got a new chair here. We're trying it out after 65 years of these.
So, what do you think of that chair?
Pretty good.
Okay.
That's well. Everything works on it.
Commissioner Hill.
I don't have any comments.
Commissioner Stevens.
You don't know what the fuck they're doing with the monkey.
Yeah. I have been busy again. Just quickly here, run through the. I attended the Black Exchange with the cruise ship Brilliant Lady, the Virgin Lines. Got a real nice plaque. And I'm proud of the fact that our admin staff, Katie Brown and Deanna Delgado, attended with me. We had a nice delegation. And the captain popped for lunch. It was nice. I think we ought to get ourselves that glass display case we've been talking about for a few years. If be able to display a wall of plaques up here with cruise ships, especially since we're putting our future based on drawing in a lot more cruise ships. Just a thought. I attended the budget meeting. I think we need to recognize that Melanie and our director, Will Eisen, did a real swell job presenting it. We got it all done in one day. Didn't need a second day to work with details. And, of course, I attended a cruise host meeting. And that's about all my activity in the last couple of weeks. That's all I had to do.
Thank you. I don't have anything to add. With that, we'll adjourn the open session and we'll move into executive session. So I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Thank you, Garth. For those in attendance, appreciate your interest. And with that, I'll conclude this portion.